Bible says, though the outward man is perishing, the inward man is renewed day by day. Amen. And so one day we will all step into glory and we will not need any of these assistants anymore. Praise God. If you get in your Bibles, Hebrews 11, 21. Hebrews 11, 21. And so we're in a series at the moment speaking about faith. We're talking about the heroes of faith and the just shall live by faith. And what we're trying to do is encourage people to understand the dynamics of faith. And so when the Bible says that the just shall live by faith, what the Bible is saying is that those that are saved, this is what we live by. We live by faith. This is basically how we govern our lives. This is what we do. And so just to recap, we looked at Abel, Cain and Abel. And we said that, you know what, he put his trust in Jesus Christ. How many know we studied that? Amen. And so he put his trust in God to save him. We also looked at Noah, that Noah did something great for God by faith. How many want to do something great for God? Amen. How many want to do something great for God? Amen. Amen. Here is the sermon. There's the door. People come in it and go out of it. It's an amazing contraption. Here's the sermon. Amen. The issue is that you're not going to do anything great for God without faith. And that many people, they go through their Christian walk and they don't do hardly anything for God, or their lives are unspectacular. Their lives are just normal. They're unspectacular, nothing great. Can I say to you, I want to do something great for God. Yes. How many want to do that? Yes. Yeah, you're going to be one of those crowds today. I can feel it. Yeah, well. Don't worry, I'm going to keep pressing for those participation. We looked at last week, Abraham. That by faith, Abraham moved out of his comfort zone. Amen. And so we're just waking you up, thinking that you're alive. And so the Bible says it was faith that moved Abraham out of his comfort zone. And some of you here, you want better for yourself. You want a better life. You want better for your children. You want a better career. You want your ministry to be better. You want your marriage to be better. If you have faith, you need to move out of your comfort zone. You've got to move into realms which are uncomfortable for you. And only through that are you going to actually tap into what God has for you. And we said last week, if your faith doesn't move you out of your comfort zone, most probably that faith is not going to move God to bless you in your comfort zone. It doesn't work like that. Real faith moves you. And so faith plays a part in so many things in our life. But what I want to look at today is how faith helps us make decisions. And the decisions that you're making, either you're making them by faith or you're not. The decisions. You know, life is just a catalog of decisions. The reason you're here today is because of the decision that you made. I'm going to come to church. Some of you, the financial predicaments that you're in right now, those are decisions you made. Whether to save or whether to buy, whether to invest, whether to budget, whether to squander. Just as simple as decisions. And so the quicker that you learn and I learn, life is all about the decisions that we make, the quicker that we're making the right decisions, that we're going to be in the place where we want to be. And so let's go into the text anyway. Hebrews 11, 21. The Bible says, let me get it here. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now for your anointing. I pray, Father, that your spirit would be upon everything that we would do today. I pray, Father, that you would work faith into our life, that, Father, you would unlock faith that would help us make decisions today. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that he would be magnified. Father, help us right now. And all God's people said,
amen.
Bible speaks about the faith of Jacob, and so we want to preach about the faith of Jacob, and so we want to examine this guy, Jacob. How many read about Jacob in the Bible? We know who he is. Okay, and so Jacob, he's basically what we would call one of the patriarchs, one of the fathers. So we have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to?
Israel.
Was changed to?
Israel.
That's it, your Bible stars. But the Bible doesn't say the faith of Israel. It speaks about the faith of Jacob. It doesn't speak about, and many people, you'll read over that and you'll think nothing of it. But there is something in this. Why would God bring out the faith of Jacob and not speak about the name that he changed him to, which was Israel? God changed his name from Jacob to Israel. But God wants to identify the faith of this man, Jacob. Well, the name Jacob, what it means is holder of the heel. And Jacob was born as a twin with his brother Esau. And so what's happening here is that when they were, two of them were being born, Esau comes first. Jacob is grabbing his brother's heel. The Bible says, as he was being born, he's grabbing his brother's heel. Almost like, no, I want to be first. And so the Bible says, this is why they name him Jacob. The name really means a supplanter. Or there's something about this guy. And so in Bible times, they're not just calling people Tom, Dick, and Harry. They don't just give random names. Like we can make up random names. I'm not going to say a random name because you might have that name and then you're going to get upset with me about it. So I'm not going to mention a name, but we just mention, you know, make a name. But in Bible times, when they named someone a name, it was to do with their character. It was a representation of who they are. And so the Bible is saying that this name Jacob is something about who this man is. Now, when I was growing up, there used to be a TV program on. It was called Only Fools and Horses. How many ever seen this program? None of you have seen it. Okay. If you've seen it and you have a hand, lift it. Amen. Okay, so you know what I'm talking about. Only Fools and Horses. And so Only Fools and Horses is this this English family. I can't remember all the characters. But and they're in a flat. They live in a council flat in Peckham. And so what it was is this guy was like, the best way I could describe it is like a wheeler dealer guy. He's like a guy that buys things and sells things, but he's always trying to do a little deal. And so he would buy, like, you know, he would find out that someone's got like 1,000 taps and he would buy it off the back of a lorry, and now he's trying to sell it somewhere to someone who, you know, and so he's constantly doing this wheeling and dealing and always getting into trouble and trying to work his way out of it, doing a scam. This is what the name Jacob means. This is who Jacob was. That means he's a wheeler dealer. Now, I know sometimes that maybe not translate now. The program is very old. But really what we're saying is Jacob is a hustler. That's what he is. Jacob is a hustler. He's always on a hustle. You know what a hustler is? A hustler is someone that wants to gain something by doing the least amount of work. That's what a hustler is. A hustler is someone that wants to gain money, but doesn't want to go to work and work a 9-to-5. That's too boring. That's too long. A hustler says, no. I want to do this little move or do this little thing, and then I'm going to gain as much money as it took you for a month to work. I want to just do this, and I'll gain that. And this is what Jacob, when they saw Jacob coming out, they said, no, this guy's a hustler. This is what it is. We see it in his life. The Bible shows us that straight away he's grabbing his brother's heel. But more than that, one time the Bible says that Jacob is cooking some lentil soup or stew or something, and his brother comes from the field, Esau, and Esau is the firstborn. So in the Bible times, when you're the firstborn, you get the double portion. You get the inheritance. You get the blessing. You're the firstborn. This is serious in Bible times. And so Jacob knows he's not the firstborn. He's not going to get the double portion. And so when he sees his brother Esau, and his brother Esau's tired, and his brother Esau says, give me some of that stew or I'm going to die. And so, you know, he's cooking, I think it was lentil stew. But, you know, let's just say he was cooking rice and peas or some brown stew chicken, whatever, or goosey soup, or whatever your flavor is. Pie and mash, amen. Fish and chips, whatever, amen. But he sees that, and so his brother says, give me some of that. And he says, only if you sell me your birthright. I want you to sell me your birthright and I'll give you some of my stew. And so the Bible says that Esau says, okay, well, what do I need my birthright for right now? And so he sells it to him. And so already you can see him wheeling and dealing and hustling his way to the top. Not only that, fast forward, the Bible says that when his dad is dying, his dad is now going to put the blessing on Esau. His first son, so his dad is going to put his blessing upon him. This means the favor of God, the blessing of God. You're taking up the mantle. You're going to be the first. You're the leader of the family now. You're the one that's the carrying the baton. And so the father's going to bless him. But the mom hears that he's going to be, that Esau's going to be blessed. But the mom said, Jacob is my favorite. And so the mom tells Jacob, you know what? Go to your father and pretend that you are your brother so that you can get the blessing. And he says, no, but my brother's a hairy guy. And when dad feels me, because he couldn't see, but he's going to realize, you know, I'm not that guy. And so the mom says, work it out, get an animal hair, put it on it. I don't know how hairy Esau was. But anyway, he did that. And so he gets the blessing. So he tried to grab his brother's heel. He took his brother's birthright. He's now taking his brother's blessing. And then he runs away because his brother is vexed. His brother's going to kill him. His brother's on the rampage. And so he runs away and he goes to his mother's brother, Laban. And so he's there with Laban. And when he's there with Laban, even his scheming starts to work. And so he says to his brother, look, you know what, some of the sheep that I've got spots on and some of the sheep that haven't got spots on, let's divide them. I'll have these ones, you have those ones. And what he starts to do, I don't understand all of this, but he starts to make the sheep go in front of this speckled thing and they look at this and they look at that. And somehow, the long story short, he is still scheming. And so all through this man's life, he's constantly doing what he wants to do to get what he wants. Can I say to you and myself today, is some of us, this describes our life up to this point, is that all of our life, we've learned how to scheme, how to hustle, how to do things to get what we want. Let me bring it 3D here. Let me bring it into HD. Let me give you some higher definition. There's some women here, if you want a certain guy, you've learned how to draw that guy. Don't say amen. Don't put your hand up. Yeah, it's me. We don't need to. Amen. Just when you go home tonight, you'll be like, amen. You know what you're talking about. And if you're married, you could go, amen. You can say it to him right now. Amen. No, don't. Some of you guys here is that you know how to make money. If you need money, you need a deal, you need to call someone, you need to do something, you've learned how to do it. Some of you here, you've learned how to manipulate people in your family, people around you. You know how to wiggle your way to the top and do things. And you've been doing it your whole life. But just like Jacob, the problem is that he kept getting, even though he keeps wheeling and dealing and doing his thing, it keeps coming back to bite him. He does these little deals, but he's getting himself into more problem with his family. He's getting into more problems. See, he's not trusting God. He's leaning on his own understanding. See, this is what it is. This is the opposite of faith. This is what he is. He's leaning on his own understanding. And it's making problems. Some of you here, you're in problems because you've been leaning on your own understanding. It's got you to where you've got to, but it's not going to get you to where God wants to get you. And let me say something here, and this is not in my sermon, but this is free. God has better plan for you than you have for yourself. Did you know that? God has a bigger plan for you than you have for yourself. Think of your biggest plan that you have for your life. God has a bigger one. God has a bigger one. But you're only going to get there by submitting to God. Listen to the scripture, Proverbs 3, verse 5. Many of us know it. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. But in all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. See, when we're talking about leaning on your own understanding, we're talking about you're not living by faith. And when you stop living by faith, the next thing is that you start to live by is fear. When you're not living by faith, you start to live by fear. Fear becomes your motivation. See, fear will make you do crazy things. People out of fear will do things that they thought they would never do. The Bible describes it like this. Proverbs 29 verse 25. The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. The Bible says the fear of man brings a snare. When you're fearful of people, the fear of man. And so you may be here today, I don't fear nobody. But some of you fear not fitting in. You fear that someone would look at you and be like, that's strange. You don't fit in. You're not one of us. Oh, you're weird. You're different. And so you do your utmost and your best just so that you can fit in with everybody. Some of you here, you fear man so much you wouldn't witness to people. You wouldn't tell people about Jesus. I was so encouraged the other day. I think it was Wednesday or the other day that a young man came into the church, got saved. And I was speaking to him and I said, how did you hear about the church? And he said, a sister in our church invited him. And I said, who was that? And it was Peggy. And I said, how did you know this person? He said, from school. And so here was a young lady in her school witnessing and letting people know about Jesus and bringing him to church. I mean, that's powerful. When most young people, they just want to walk around like their G-Unit. And I heard you go to church. Sometimes. Just to pray over your food. You're like, praise God, praise God, praise God. Did you say something? No, something in my throat. Jesus, bless me. Because the Bible says the fear of man is a snare. You know what a snare is? A snare is a thing that captures you. A fear. Some of you, your family, that you fear that what they would say if you told them, I'm a Christian, I'm going for God. I'm living holy. Living righteous. You know the funniest thing I've noticed about when people get saved and dealing with their family? Before they were saved, they were out raving, drinking, coming home drunk, sleeping around. And I mean women as well. Women sleeping around. Different guys. And then they get saved, coming to the church. And then their family starts to complain. Listen. It's too radical. Hold up. You don't know what she was doing the last 6 months. You need to thank God. Now she's got, how come you got no boyfriend, no man? How come? And then the worst thing is, and then they say, I'm dating now and I'm going to get married. Married? You're too young to get married. But you weren't too young to be sleeping around all over Wandsworth. Sometimes you got to just tell it as it is. Listen, I love people. I love my family. But I'm going to tell you how it is. I'm serving Jesus. Whether you like it or not, I'm serving Jesus. Because the fear of man is a snare. And fear will make you do crazy things. And we all feel this fear. The Bible speaks about King Saul. King Saul was called by God. God called King Saul. And so he calls this man and he gives this man a wonderful position of blessing. And, you know, just providing for him. He's the king. God, imagine, King Saul is the first king of Israel. In all of Israel's history, King Saul has this place. You're the first king. You've got armies and riches and power and anointing and influence. This is such a blessing. And all God is saying to him is, just obey me, Saul, man. I've blessed you. I've put you in position. Just obey me. But the Bible says that King Saul didn't obey God. He would not obey God for the simple reason of fear. Rather than him leaning upon God, trusting in God, he leant on his own understanding. And the Bible says that God told him to do something and he blatantly disobeyed God. Blatantly just disobeyed God. And the Bible says, sorry, that's my timer. I will be preaching on longer. The Bible says this, listen, 1 Samuel 15, 23, 24. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. I have transgressed the commandments of the Lord and your words. Because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. This is what it is. Why did King Saul disobey God? He feared the people. He feared the people. See, today, what decisions are you making out of fear? Today, what decisions are you making out of fear? That you're making decisions because you fear what would happen. See, when fear starts to get hold of our life, the hustler comes out. I believe in us, there's all a, we've all got a hustler in there somewhere. We've all got a little hustler somehow. We start to, yeah, we believe God, and then fear backs us up against the wall, and you're a bit desperate, and the situation is, and you start to lean on your own understanding. You start to go back to your hustler ways. You know, some of us, in the fear of, when you've been out of work for a while, or you haven't had a job, and then you're filling out an application form, or you're putting your CV out there, the fear could push you to start turning a D into a B, or maybe a C into just a slip of the wrist, a typo. Oh, is it an A? You start to lie on your CV. Let's call it what it is. You're lying on your CV. You're lying on that application form. Because of fear. Fear of not having a job. Fear that you won't get it. See, it's the fear. Some people that have been unemployed for a little while, or they're going through a tough time, they'll take a job that a year ago they would have never taken that job. They would have never taken that type of job. There are some places a Christian doesn't work. There are some, listen, this is it. I'm not going to be working in a topless bar. Standard. I'm not going to be coming from work. Where you come from? Oh, yeah, I've come from wherever it was. Spearmint Rhinos, wherever it's called. It's like, what's that? I didn't know about that. Listen, don't search it. Don't. Put your phone back in your pocket. Bring your Bible out. Amen. Just research, Pastor. No. There are some places, and this is what it is. When it's because of the fear. It's either you're going to trust God, or fear is going to make you do something you said you would never do. And we all feel this pressure, and then we start to justify, how am I going to pay my bills? Come on, we all got to eat. Hey, you know what? God helps those that help themselves. Heresy. It's not in here. That's not in here, by the way. God helps those who help themselves. It's not in here. You take a job that really interrupts you with church. Where God saves you, brings you into the house of God. You get saved. You're coming to church. You're linking with God's people. You're worshiping with God's people. You're hearing the word of God, the preaching of the word of God. And now God blesses you with a job. And then now you're missing services. You're not in church. You're away from church. And then you blame job or education or anything. Can I tell you today, God will never bless you with something that will take you away from Him. God will never bless you. That is not a blessing. God will not bless you. You know what happens? If we are cunning enough, and if we are strategic enough, and if that hustler starts to play out, we can get what we want. Did you know that the Bible shows us that God said that, you know what, to the children of Israel, you wanted a king and I gave you a king. God says, initially, I wanted to be your king. That's what he says to the children of Israel. He said, I wanted to be your king. But you pushed and pushed and pushed, and so I let you have your way. Sometimes you're going to be pushing, and say, oh, but I got it. God will sometimes let you have your way. It wasn't his perfect will. That wasn't his perfect will. But he says, you pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed, so I'm going to let you have your way. Have your way. That's what you want. I'm going to let you have it. And they got their king, and they suffered under the king. Because fear pushes us to stop believing God. Some people, they'll stop giving. I don't have enough. Stop tithing, stop blessing people, stop helping others. Because, I've got to do some things. Listen, you're operating through fear, not faith. You're operating through fear, not faith. Let me speak about another thing that people many times, relationships and the fear of being alone. This is a realistic thing, man. In our day and age, it's almost like you're a leper if you're not in a relationship. It's like you're a leper. If you're a young person here and you're serving God, you're serving Jesus, and your parents or your family are not saved, or they don't come to the church, they don't understand, and they're like, so how come you're still single? Like, what's going on? And obviously, sometimes it's their well-wishing. They want the best for you. But in our society today, if you're not in a relationship with someone, it's like you're a leper. It's like you're outcast. What's wrong with you? Bro, are you okay? Do you like ladies? That's how people start to think. Are you, what's happening? No, of course, I like them, but I'm just, I want to live pure. But when you've been alone for a little while, and you've been by yourself for a little while, and the fear of that I might be alone forever, it can cause you to start to lower your standards. Starts to lower your standards. And let me speak to women in this place, because many times, just because of the biological clock, women start to feel the pressure of it before the man. And you're starting to look and think, you know what? I'm getting older, man. And the devil's lying to you. Say, yeah, you're going to be alone. You're going to be that sister just alone with 20 cats. Coming to church, cat hairs, and I love my cats. You're going to be, listen, the devil's lying to you. And so you start to think, you know what? God helps those who help themselves. And so the skirts start to get a bit shorter. And the tops get a bit lower. Because you're going to hustle yourself into marriage. You're going to, God gave it to me. I got to use what I got. No. You're hustling, sister. That's what you're doing there. You're hustling. The dresses start to get a bit tighter. You start to lower your standard. At one time, a year ago, 6 months ago, you would have been the first one to say, you know what? The man I marry, he has to be a man of God. He needs to know how to respect me, how to lead me, how to do right, blah, 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 blah. That's good. You're saying that now. We love that. Amen. We're all excited. And then leave you single for a little while. And now, all he needs to be is male and alive. As long as there's blood coursing through his veins. And as soon as a new guy comes in, the claws, the ink is still wet on his convert cards. We're still drying it. And you're there next to us, blowing it. Brother Sosa, I just wanted to know, and you're reading it upside down, getting his numbers 7-0. Because the devil's telling you, listen, you got to, fear is driving you, and so now we're always seeing you. It's like you're connected to the guy. He's just got saved. Let him get established. See, with men, we can overlook character for curves. See, fear will expose your faith so quick. Can I say that to us? See, we can talk about faith and talk about, God, live by faith, I trust God. But just a little bit of fear, if I just keep trusting God and nothing happens, a little bit of fear will expose faith. It'll expose that, you know what? Real faith can handle fear. But real fear will shatter fake faith. Real faith can handle fear. Many of you know the story, but some of you don't. And I repeat it because just to encourage people that God is a blesser. I remember I was probably mid to late 20s. I have no education. I didn't go to university. I don't even have a GCSE. I have nothing. I left school 14. I didn't care. Back then, none of my friends went finished school. None of my friends had formal education. We were just like, yeah, we're just going to hustle, make money, and smoke weed until, you know, that was it. I didn't know anything else. And so I get saved now. And so now I realize I've got to have a proper job. And so I was working, doing some stuff, and God had blessed me. But I remember I got asked to go on an interview by a company, and they asked me to go on an interview. And so they offered me a job, and it was the best job I'd ever had at that point. I mean, it was the highest amount of money I'd ever had, company car, perks, everything. And so it was like a dream job for me. And when I went into the interview, I said to them, listen, I don't work Sundays. Every interview since I've been a Christian, I said, I don't work Sundays. I will never work Sundays. I said, no, I don't want Sundays. I said, but I'll work as hard as you want me to work. You put me somewhere, I work hard. I'll work at it. But that's one thing, is that I won't work Sundays. The guy agreed. Then they offered me the job. I handed in my notice at my old company. And so now I'm on my transition. I'm going to start this new job. I've handed in my notice at my old company. The new company that's going to employ me called me up about a week or so before I'm about to start the job with them. And they said to me, I know you don't want us to work. I know you said you wouldn't work on a Sunday, but we want to fly you to Germany on Sunday for training. We want to bring you into our laboratory, and you're going to learn about light and eye and all of these things. And I said, and at that point, can I be honest with you? I remember a fear came over me, like, what do I do? A fear came over me, like, what do I do? I'm going to go work for them. I don't want to upset them. I've already handed in my notice. My old job already know I was. How many know when your old job knows you're looking for a job, it's over? It's over, man. It's over. And so I can't go back to them, you know. And so here I am. I've got no old job. The new job has kind of got me over a barrel, and I'm fearful. And the Holy Spirit just said to me, tell them no. Tell them no. And I said, listen, I can't do that. I have church on Sunday, and I don't miss church for nothing. I don't miss church for nothing. And the guy said to me, okay, well, let me see what the managing director gets on the phone. Posh guy, starts speaking to me. And so quite intimidating. Obviously, he's the managing director. He's probably, you know, I'm his employee. So he's kind of talking to me, talking down to me. And I had to stop him. I said, listen, if my commitment to God jeopardizes my prospects in your organization, better we know now. Better we know now. I'm not even going to dance around it, try to be diplomatic with you. This is what it is. It's yay or nay. So either you go with it or you don't. That's what it is. I will not work Sunday. I will not miss church Sunday. I will not do this. And he said, okay, you don't have a job with us. That was it. He took the job back. A couple of weeks later, I got another offer from a different job. And the company I went to was far better. Far better. And I was with them right up until I became a full-time pastor. I was, you know, with them for 10 years or so. But the issue I was saying is that, what would you do in that situation? Or a situation like that? What would you do? Would you operate through faith or fear? When God comes to you in these situations, do you listen to his voice and tell them no? See, we want the prestige of faith. We want the prestige. You know what that is? When you want the prestige, you want to look good and talk about faith. Yeah, I've got faith. But when fear comes, real faith can deal with fear. And some of you right now, you may be in anxiety about things. You may be in fearful about your future. You may be apprehensive about what the future holds for you. What do you do? Can I say to you today, if you will believe in God and trust God, he will bring you through. He will bring you through. You know the irony of it, and I tell you this is God, is that the company I said no to employed one of my friends from that I had worked with. And the guy went there, he lasted there 2 months, he said it was the worst company I ever worked for. Imagine if I would have went there. See, because I want to say to you today is that fear will always try to intimidate you, but you've got to say no. Faith can deal with the fear. The Bible says that God said to Abraham, offer up your son Isaac. And the Bible says that God was willing to, sorry, Abraham was willing to do it in obedience to God. He was willing to offer his own son as a sacrifice. And the Bible says, just as he was about to sacrifice his son, God said, stop. Now I know you love me. Now I know you've got faith. Now I know you've got faith. And it was a test. The Bible says that the prophet was sent to a widow woman and she only had enough pastry and oil to make one patty. And he says, give it to me first and then go make for yourself. She said, I've only got enough for one. He says, make it for me first. Give it to me. Then go make for yourself. Can you imagine the fear that was in her mind? But thank God she operated through faith. And the Bible says because she did that, the flour and the oil did not run out. Imagine if God were to challenge you. Listen, give that. Lay that down. Go there. And you're like fearful. No, no, no. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. And you don't do it. God says, do it. Trust me. Watch what I do. That's what faith is. It's either we're living by faith or we're living by fear. Can you say no to that job that takes you away from God? Can you say no and trust God? Sister, can you say no to that guy and say, listen, God is going to come through for me. No matter what God, no matter what the future holds, I'm going to trust God. No, 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 no. I'm not going to join that crew where I'm going to start wear lower tops and shorter skirts to attract a man. I'm a woman of God. I'm going to remain a woman of God. I'm going to live like a woman of God. And I tell you this once, then I want a man of God. I want a man of God. See, when you trust God, God will come through for you, church. When you trust God. Let me close. Speaking about Jacob. And so we know that Jacob is all over Genesis. But Pastor, if this guy's a hustler and this guy was just doing all this madness his whole life, making problems, have you ever wondered how did he make it into the hall of faith? How did he make it into the hall? Because we understand why Abraham is there. Yeah, Abraham is, you know, the forefather of faith. We could understand why Joseph is there. But how did Jacob, the scammer, the hustler, make it into the hall of faith? How does this man who lived by fear and his own understanding make it into the hall of faith? Well, the Bible shows us. When you read the text, it's quite clear. It says, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of his sons, each of the sons of Joseph, and worship, leaning on the top of his staff. The Bible is showing us is that at the end of Jacob's life, he realized all his tricks and all his strategies had run out. And he had to trust God. Can I say to you today, some of you here, you realize that your life and all your tricks, I know your scams and your hustles have not worked. And as soon as you're willing to say, you know what? I want to trust God. Faith starts. That's when faith is going to start. It's as simple by just saying, you know what? Faith is not this big, this religious thing. It's as simple just saying, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not to your own understanding. Lean not to your own understanding. Realize. Because Jacob had to come to the end of himself. See, Jacob strategized to get the blessing. Jacob strategized to get out of Laban's house, to get sheep, to do all these things. But you know one of the things that happened to Jacob that he could not get through, he could not strategize? When he lost Joseph. Because he thought Joseph was dead. That's what it is. See, what the Bible is talking about, this is why it's good to get a cross-reference Bible. Because when you're reading things in the New Testament, you're thinking, why does it say that? And it will give you the directions in the Old Testament for you to understand. And what the Bible is speaking about in the New Testament in Hebrews, he's pushing back to Genesis 48, verse 11, and it says, and Israel, which is Jacob, said to Joseph, I had not thought to see your face, But in fact, God has also shown me your offspring. When Jacob thought, because remember, Joseph was sold and betrayed by his brothers, and they brought the multicolored coat back to Jacob and said, listen, maybe there was a beast that killed him. And so here is Jacob thinking, my son is dead. He's been torn to pieces by an animal. I'd never see him again. God, what's going on? God, I've tried to serve you. I've tried to do the right thing, and look what's happened to me. But how many know Joseph was not dead? And sometimes we don't see what's going on, and we think, God, you've forgotten me, you've left me. Why am I in this predicament? Why am I going through this? Can I say to you today, Joseph is not dead. You think it's hopeless. You think it's the end of the line. And so you give up on God. But God was working in Joseph's life, even when Jacob did not see it. Sometimes God is going to be doing things behind the scenes that you do not see. He's doing things behind the scene. God is always working. He doesn't have to give you an announcement. I know we always want to know, God, bit by bit, could you just keep telling me what's going on? God is not like, you know, he has Twitter every minute. Yeah, I'm blessing you. Yeah, I'm preparing your husband. Yeah, he's going to get saved next week. Yeah, he's here today. Okay, yeah, he's now made a disciple. Yeah, he's reading his Bible. God is not going to do that. God is doing what he's going to do because he's God. And all we got to do is trust him. All we got to do is trust him. God is not going to tell you, okay, yeah, I'm preparing the job. I've just got someone to sack because they were lazy. And you're going to have that job in 6 weeks' time. God is not going to do that. He's just saying, trust me. Trust me. Because he's going to do more than you thought. Because what does Jacob say? He said, I never thought I would see Joseph, but I've seen his children. You know, that's the joy of a parent, is to live long enough to see your grandchildren. That's the joy of most parents. That's what they hope for. If I can live long, you know, if you can live long enough to see your grandchildren, yeah, you've arrived, man. He said, no, I don't want to be a grandmother, a granddad. No, that's good. This is what the Bible is showing us. He says, I thought I would never see Joseph, but God has not only enabled me to see Joseph, I've seen his children. When I thought God had totally let me down, when I thought God was doing nothing, God has just come around and blown my mind. God is doing something, and I'm like, God, where are you? Where are you? And God is doing something. And then all of a sudden, God will turn you around, and you're like, my days. You've built this for me? That's how God operates. But we've got to trust him, church. See, Joseph is a type of redeemer. Joseph is a type of redeemer. See, Joseph goes into Egypt. Joseph went through all of these problems. He was betrayed. He was sold. He was lied on. But he goes into Egypt. He becomes the prime minister. And then when there's a famine, Joseph is the one who saves his family. Joseph is a redeemer. He redeems his family. And the Bible says that faith kicked in after, because what does the Bible say? It says that the faith of Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph. The Bible is saying the faith that we acknowledge about Jacob is when he saw Joseph. And I want to say to us today is that you've got to see the Redeemer. For your faith to come alive, you need to see Jesus. See, now we're saved, our faith should come alive. We've seen the Redeemer. Christ has gone before us. How many know Christ was betrayed? How many know Christ was sold? How many know Christ suffered? And Christ died and shed his blood so that we could enter into the blessing. Christ has redeemed us. How many have seen Christ? Meaning, how many have accepted Christ? Can I say to you today, we need to have faith in the goodness of God. The last thing I want to say is this. Jacob made many mistakes, but God still blessed him. I don't know if that blows your mind, and I don't. When I read this, I found so much hope in this. I found so much hope in this that God looked at Jacob and said, I know you're a hustler, and you were trying to do your little thing, and you're messing things up. But at the end, God still turned it around for his good. Because even when we are not faithful, God is faithful. See, if you're here today and you're saved, there's hope for you. God loves you and he's going to bring things round for you. I'm not telling you to run out of here and say, hey, it doesn't matter what I do. I'll do what I want. God will just bring it round for me. No, 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 no. You're going to suffer a lot. You're going to suffer a lot. But I'm saying right now, today, you may look at your life and say, you know what? I've been doing a lot of my own thing. I've been doing my own thing. And I'm suffering because I've been doing my own thing. Can I say to you there's hope? Because even though Jacob was that way, God still showed himself faithful. At the end, God made it right for him. See, that makes me love God all the more. That even though I make mistakes and I do things, and I leant upon my own understanding, when I lacked faith, God was still so faithful. This should make us love him more, church. This should make us draw to him more. That God, you, God could have said, listen, Jacob, you strategized and you hustled and everything. Joseph is dead, and that's just because of your decisions. You jacked up, you're finished with. I'm just finished with you, Jacob. I'm done with you. It's long. I'm not dealing with you no more. How many thank God he's not like that? I thank God he's not like that. That he said, you know what, Jacob? You are Jacob. God knows who you are. It says by faith, Jacob. It didn't say by faith, Israel. He says, no, I know who you are. But I worked it out for you. We got to stay in Christ. If you're not in Christ today, if you're not in Jesus, there is no guarantee it will work out for you. If you're not in Christ today, if you're not in Jesus, God looks after his children. And the Bible says that we become his children by being born again. And I urge you today, being born again doesn't mean you're perfect. Being born again doesn't mean you've joined the church. Being born again doesn't mean that somehow you're going to be this superstar. Being born again means you've accepted Jesus as your substitute. He died on the cross for your sin. You have to acknowledge you've done wrong. You have to acknowledge that. If you don't acknowledge that, you cannot be saved. Because that's pride. And pride will stop you from entering in the presence of God. The Bible says God resists the pride. But if you will admit today and say, you know what? I've done wrong. I've been doing my own thing. I want to accept Jesus. The Bible says something happens. We've stepped onto a whole nother territory. And God gets you there. God helps you. Amen.